Let's go to Philippians chapter number 2, Philippians chapter number 2 in our Bibles, Philippians chapter number 2. I want to preach on the subject this morning, the mind of Christ, the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter number 2, we'll begin reading in verse number 5. If you'll please stand with me for the reading of the Bible, if you're able to do so, Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. Philippians 2, 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. What a blessing just to read this portion of Scripture. And those of us that love our Savior, we can't help but read parts of the Bible like this and not rejoice, be excited. Lord, I pray, dear God, that Christ would be lifted up this morning. You said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And so, Lord, we want to exalt you. Dear God, we want to exalt your Son. Dear Holy Spirit, please help us as we attempt to lift up Christ. And Lord, if there's someone here without Jesus as their Savior, I pray that they would see him as the Savior of their soul and accept him today. I pray, Lord, for those of us that are Christians, that we would want to give him rightful place and priority in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This portion of Scripture for many of us are very familiar. Some of us that grew up here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and grew up in the Christian school, I don't imagine there was too many years that went by that this wasn't part of what was memorized by the student body here at Blessed Hope Baptist School. I grew up and part of, I went to public school till I was in all the way through 10th grade. My 11th and 12th grade year, they started the Christian school and I had opportunity to come here. Imagine going to school and memorizing the Bible. Imagine going to school and not being told that you can't pray, but prayer being integrated into every facet of your education. Imagine opening a textbook and not seeing the Creator question, but instead seeing the Creator glorified, and a wonderful opportunity to be involved in Christian education. We challenged the young people in the Christian school this year to memorize the entire book of Philippians. And so pray for our student body. They are going to, before Christmas break is over, Lord willing, being able to quote all of chapter number 1 and all of chapter number 2 before they leave for Christmas break. We're doing some fun things with this to make it more interesting. We are having quiz every single Wednesday right at the beginning of chapel, and we get all the junior high and high schoolers up. By the way, I heard the girls made an awesome comeback last Wednesday. Is that right? You guys were like nailing it, knocking them out. Good job. All right. So guys, come on now. We can't tolerate that long here. So, but they're working hard and doing a good job and memorizing. And every Wednesday we have quiz time and ask them questions out of the Scriptures and test their knowledge of the Scriptures. And then accordingly they can earn points and prizes and rewards and whatnot. I had to do something that, I'll be honest with you, I'd never done before. It's one thing to say we're going to quiz every Wednesday. It's another thing to say, okay, where do you get the questions at? There's no ready available textbook for that I've been able to find. And I'm kind of glad that there's not. So what I've been able to do on every section that they are preparing to quiz on, in preparation for that, I go to that same portion of Scripture and literally, word by word, phrase by phrase, line by line, look through the portions of Scripture and try to write out questions. I'll be honest with you, that's been a blessing to me. It's helped me to glean some things from the Word of God as I've prepared the questions for the quizzes. And I just prepared the questions just in the last couple weeks on Philippians chapter number 2. And I got down to this very familiar portion of Scripture. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And you know, the Bible encourages us. Of course, we should read the Bible. And the Bible says some about memorization of the Bible. But you know, the Bible says a lot on meditation. And I think that's the one thing we perhaps don't emphasize enough. It's good to read it. It's good to memorize it. But it's good to meditate upon it. And because this was fresh in my mind, I've spent some time meditating on this portion of Scripture. I've just captivated by verse number 5. I think from time to time it's good for us just to slow down. I'm glad if you read your Bible through in a year, and I think that's a worthy goal. But I would encourage you to do it. But I'm gotten to the point in my Christian life, I'm not as concerned day by day by the quantity of the time I spent in the Bible. I want it to be quality time. And I think sometimes we go so quickly and maybe so goal-oriented that we just don't slow down and think about what we're reading. But I'm going to tell you this, verse number 5 just captivated me. And I want to preach on this subject this morning, the mind of Christ, or acquiring the mind of Christ. Think about this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Wow. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I want to take that one verse and then some of the verses that will follow. And that's going to be what we examine this morning in the message. Let me start by showing you that very first word. What's the first word in chapter 2, verse number 5? The word let. Now let me say this first of all about acquiring the mind of Christ. This is a voluntary action. Let this mind be in you. So God says you have to let it happen. Let this mind be in you. This word let, if you look it up in the original Greek word, it means to exercise the mind, to entertain or have a sentiment or opinion by implication, to be mentally disposed earnestly in a certain direction, intensive to interest oneself in, set the affection on, be like, to regard, to savor. So it has to be an individual choice. This is a voluntary action. Each and every one of us has to decide that we're going to let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. I want to remind you, and it's good for us to say it from time to time from the pulpit here, but God will not circumvent the free will of man. God will not circumvent the free will of man. He wants us to choose him. He's never has and won't make you. If you're unsaved, he won't make you get saved. Okay, if you're a Christian and you're saved, but you're living in rebellion against God, he's not going to make you stop rebelling. He's not going to circumvent the free will of God. If you're determined to make a bad choice, he's not going to circumvent your free will. You can choose. Now, folks, the consequences, you don't get to choose, but you can choose what you do and what you don't do. And I think what we need to understand about God is this. He wants us to have that choice because he wants us to choose him. He urges us to choose him. He entices us to choose him. He encourages us to choose him. He draws us to choose him, but he will not make us choose him. If you're going to acquire the mind of Christ, you have to decide by voluntary action that this is something that I want to do. Now think about this. What you're saying is, I don't want to think like me. I want to think like Jesus. I don't want to think like the culture. I want to think like Jesus. I don't want to think like this person, that person, or this person. I want to think like Jesus. So first of all, it's a voluntary action. Let. The next two words is this mind. This is not only a voluntary action to acquire the mind of Christ, but this is not your only option. Think about that. Let this mind be in you. Well, if he's saying this mind, he's urging you to choose this mind, then there must be some other choices, and there is. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you have some choices. God is urging you to adopt the mindset and thinking patterns of his wise and wonderful son, but that is not the only template available. You can choose another pattern. You can opt for the opposite mindset. Again, you have a free will. I think one of the great studies, and I played around with it a little bit, and so let's talk about it a little bit this morning. But one of the great comparisons in the Bible is the way the devil thinks and the way Jesus thinks. Now, I'm going to say something, and then I'm going to try to back it up, and you prove whether or not you think the statement I'm going to make is accurate or not. I'm afraid more of the world has the mind of Satan than they do the mindset of Jesus Christ. I think the way the devil thinks is the way the average human thinks. Come on, I'm gonna back it up here. Sadly, I'm going to say this. I'm not sure that it's just true about lost people. I think if we're not careful, whether we realize it or not, as a Christian, we can fail to choose the option of the mind of Christ, and maybe without even knowing, beginning to think like the devil thinks instead of thinking like the Lord Jesus thinks. But I want you to understand it's a choice. You see, if you do an examination of the verses that follow this, let's look down here. Verse number 6, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, he doesn't just leave it there. He goes on to describe the mindset of Christ. I want you to think of what is said, and then I want you to think of the opposite of what is said. I want you to not just see heads. I want you to see tails. I don't want you to see pros. I want you to see cons. If you identify the way Christ thinks, I promise you, if you flip it over and look at the opposite, that's the way the devil thinks. So you've got to decide, do I want the mind of Christ, or do I want to be formed into thinking like Christ thinks and surrender and volunteer to that, or do I want to think the same way that the devil thinks every day of his existence? In verse number 6, we see this about Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. One of the things that you see about Jesus is the mind of Christ does not produce a false humility. I'm going to talk about humility, but I think there's not just humility. Sometimes there's a false humility. Notice what it says about Jesus here. Did you get that? Who being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You know why he didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God? Because he is equal with God. Okay. So you know what? What he wasn't afraid to proclaim. What he wasn't afraid to embrace. He didn't walk around just saying, oh, I'm just not as good as God the Father. You know why? Because he was as good as God the Father. Oh, I'm not equal with God. No, he was equal with God. Now, folks, listen to me. There's humility, but there's false humility. You know what? Listen to me. I think sometimes an attempt to be humble, and I'm going to speak about the importance of humility. But you know what, folks? Being humble as a Christian doesn't mean that you walk around comparing yourself to dirt and I'm nothing and I'm no. Let me tell you something. If you're saved, you're a child of God. And you know what? You shouldn't think it robbery to say that. You know why? Because you are. Okay? I'm redeemed. I'm a child of God. Listen, I want to say this. If you're saved, you're somebody. You're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Hey, you know what? You've never been there to see how the construction's going, but there's a mansion being constructed in heaven for you right now. That's a pretty big deal. You know what? You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. This isn't bragging to say these things. This is fact, something to rejoice in, something to embrace, something to be glad about. Listen, folks, you know what? If you are a child of God, the Bible affirms that you are somebody in the sight of Almighty God. You're blessed. You're the beloved. And so don't portray a false humility. Oh, I'm nothing. No, you're something good. Through Jesus Christ, God's made you something. And so, number one, Jesus wasn't afraid to embrace and lay hold of and lay ownership to what he was. So the mind of Christ doesn't produce a false humility. Number two, the mind of Christ does not seek worldly acclaim. Doesn't seek worldly acclaim. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of, watch this, no reputation. Even though we know through Christ that we are something, we don't worry about building a reputation in the world's eyes. Now, if you think about all of these things, the devil does just opposite, you see. Listen, don't worry about worldly acclaim. Don't worry about building some big reputation. Don't worry about people in the community, whether they think you're a big shot or somebody important or not. Who cares? Who cares in the sight of God? Who cares in the sight of the world what people think about you? Don't worry about trying to build some big reputation. Don't try to build a big reputation in the world, and don't worry about trying to build a big reputation in the church. Some people are title hungry, you know. They got to have a title. They got to be a big shot. Every once in a while, somebody I tell this story, but somebody once stopped me one time. One of the strangest visits I've ever had. I knocked on a door and was talking about Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And the guy, I think he was trying to place who was here that he knew what people. So he asked me, but he asked the question in a strange way. He said to me, he said, Pastor Ross, I said, yeah. And he said, I think I might know somebody that goes to your church. Who are the big names in your church? Who are the big names? I just looked at him like, I said, oh, who's the big names in our church? Yeah, who's some of the big names in your church? And I thought, Alpha and Omega? I thought, the beginning and the end? I thought, Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God? Folks, let me just establish, everybody look right up here. I'm going to try to help some of you get over a hurdle in your mind, okay? If you're trying to be a big name, you need to find a church where you're a big name. You're in the wrong church. Because we only have one big name here, and that name is Jesus. Now, I'm not just saying that, I'm meaning it. Okay, if you're one of those people looking around for church and I'm looking for a place where I can be a big duck in a small puddle and I can walk around the church and boy, everybody's looking at me and aren't you wonderful and aren't you great, and you need that, you're probably not going to be real comfortable here. Okay, because there are no big shots here. Okay, I don't care what you drove in. I don't care if you got on a church bus and came in the door. I don't care if you drove in a brand new Cadillac. You're not going to be treated any differently one way or another here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I mean that. I don't just say it, I mean it. Some preachers say that, but they don't really mean it. I mean it. I'll spend as much time after church talking to a bus kid as I will a millionaire. In fact, I'd rather talk to the bus kid, just to be honest with you. Come on now. All right, so you know what? Don't worry about worldly reputation. Okay? Don't worry about what the world, don't get caught up in that nonsense. Okay? But you notice here, the devil was just the opposite. You know, he was blessed prior to his fall of being one of the three archangels that served before the throne of God. I mean, an exalted position. And yet, he said in his heart, I will be like the Most High. It's not enough where I'm at. It's not enough what I've been blessed to do and be. It's not enough to have the position God's allowed me to have. I want to exalt myself past what God has called me and ordained me to be. Now look right here, folks. Watch this. Every single one of us better figure what God's called us to do and what God's called us to be. And stop trying to exalt ourselves above that. Because the mindset of Christ is not a mindset where we seek reputation. Okay? There was a guy that, matter of fact, this happened more than once when my dad was alive. I don't know what it is about independent fundamental Baptists, but they seem to be enamored with the idea of making each other doctors. I'm just going to say it, and if it bothers somebody, it bothers them. If you're a doctor, God bless you. And I had a Bible college call me and say, called me. And the president of the Bible college called me and said, hey, I need you to go talk to your dad. I mean, I'm in one office and my dad's in the other office. And I'm talking on the phone to this Bible college president. I said, well, talk to him about what? Well, I've called him a couple times and I want him to, our college wants to present him an honorary doctor degree. But he told me no. And then the last couple times he won't even take my call. And I said, so he said, what I need you to do as his son, as assistant pastor, is go in and talk to your dad and tell him, explain to him and get him to accept our honorary doctor's degree. Yeah, all right. So I said, sir, I don't think you probably really understand the relationship me and my dad has. In fact, I'm not sure you understand my dad at all. If he don't want it, and me and nobody else, you could have our whole congregation show up in his office. If he don't want it, and he told you he's not going to take it, I'm not going to change his mind. You know what? He told me, I told him later on about the phone call, and he just shook his head. He said, you know what God's called me to be? He said, what? He said, he called me to be a pastor. And he said, that title's always just held a place of honor and blessing in my life. He said, I don't need to be called a doctor. He said, I don't really even understand the whole thing. And we got to talking about it. I said, man, we're in Greene County. If we put out on the sign, if I put out on the sign Dr. Jerry Ross, There'd be a bunch of senior citizens knocking on the door wanting me to diagnose their gout or write a prescription for arthritis medication or... I mean, I'd never get anything done around here. I'd scared to death. Look, folks, I'm not even a nurse, let alone a doctor. Yeah, now, look right up here. Watch this. Get off of it. It isn't just preachers get caught up in this nonsense. Get off of it. Well, preacher's thinking about having some deacons. Well, I tell you what, it ought to be me. Do you even understand what deacon means? You understand what a deacon is? You know the person I don't want to be a deacon here? The one that's enamored with the title. That sees it as a position of authority. Because it's not, by the way. That doesn't understand what it is. Some of you are already, I mean, you've sat around your little family groups and talked about who you think ought to be and who you think ought to be. And let me tell you something. Look right up here. Let me look in your God-given eyeball. Shame on you. You know what you're telling me? You don't get it. You know, listen, folks, we got one position here available. We got a position here available for anybody and everybody. Here it is. Servant. Anybody here wants a position? You want a title? You need a title? Here's the one available at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Servant. Okay? Bake some cookies for some bus kids. All right, go sit down and visit some widow ladies. Go to the nursing home like a lot of our folks will go this afternoon and take your Sunday afternoon that you could get the much needed rest, by the way, busy people, and go and minister to those good folks and kneel down by a wheelchair and hold the hand of a dear elderly saint and have a word of prayer with them. That's the positions available here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm just not too concerned about titles. I'm not too concerned about, you know what Jesus said? He said, I'm going to go down to the earth. I'm going to make myself of no reputation. I'm not worried about building a big name for myself. He said, I'm just going to go and do what God sent me to earth to do. Now that's opposite of the devil. The devil is always trying to exalt himself. And here the one that could be, and by the way, one day will be properly exalted. He came down with a humble spirit. So the mind of Christ does not produce a false humility, nor does the mind of Christ seek worldly acclaim. Number three, the mind of Christ produces a servant's mentality. I think I already got over into that a little bit. Notice what he said. He made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. Now think about that. Jesus Christ, one of the most amazing stories in the Bible about Jesus is what happened in the upper room prior to his journey to Gethsemane, his arrest and crucifixion. He initiates the Lord's Supper, and then he instructs the disciples to carry that on as the local church then is established. But he does one more thing that we a lot of times don't say a whole lot about. Before he makes that journey out of the upper room and towards Gethsemane, the Bible says he takes a basin of water and a towel. And he goes around to his disciples and he kneels down in front of them and he washes every single one of their feet. Until he gets to Peter. And Peter, and by the way, I don't throw a whole lot of rocks at Peter, maybe because me and him have too much in common. So I'm usually trying to defend the guy. But Peter, I don't think in false humility. I think Peter just thought to himself, oh my goodness sakes, he's the Lord, he's the Master, he's the Messiah. I can't let him do this. But see, Jesus insisted on doing it. He said, Peter, you just sit down, let me do this. Because he wanted to teach him something. You know what he was teaching him? If you have the mind of Christ, watch this. If you have the mind of Christ, you're not worried about getting in front of a spotlight. You're worried about finding a towel and a basin of water and going to serve somebody. Okay? Are you listening to me? You're not worried about how can I get on the platform. You're worried about how can I change a light bulb? Or is there a bathroom around here that needs to be clean? You're not looking for this. Matter of fact, probably you don't really care much to be in front of people. You just want to go find something that you can do that maybe nobody will know even got done except God. And you know what? You can be happy with that, and you can be satisfied with that, and you can be blessed with that. You see, folks, listen to me. I think in Christianity today, you know what? Everybody wants to be a chief. Nobody wants to be an Indian. Everybody wants to lead something. Nobody just wants to come and serve. You know what? Well, preacher, can I be a bus captain? Why don't you just be a bus driver? Why don't you be a bus worker? Well, if you ever have a captainship open, well, why don't you start where the bus captain started? Why don't you be a puddle jumper? You know what a puddle jumper is? You guys know what a puddle jumper is. We got puddle jumpers right here. Well, what's a puddle jumper? That's the young man that rides the bus, and when the bus driver stops, he runs and jumps over mud puddles, running to the door to knock on the door and make sure the kids are up and bring them to the bus. You know what? God looks down at that young person and says, you know what? That's the mind of Christ. That's what I'm looking for. You know, just have a servant's heart. Preacher, where do you keep the lawnmower? You got enough help mowing the grass around here? Preacher, I noticed that something needs a coat of paint. Could you show me where the material is and let me take care of it? Are you listening to me? Most of the jobs that bring the most glory to God is never done in front of people. If you've got to have a spotlight to bring glory to God, then I just wonder whether or not you're really trying to bring glory to God. Okay? Most of the things that need to be done at Blessed Hope Baptist Church doesn't involve anybody seeing it or anybody giving you a round of applause or patting you on the back or telling you how wonderful you are. Okay? And so if we're going to have the mind of Christ, what we need to do is forget about making ourselves of reputation, forget about the spotlight, and just, listen, take upon yourself the form of a servant. That's the mind of Christ. Now, here's a satanic mindset. Let's look on the other end of it. Because remember, the mind of Christ isn't the only template available. Well, I'm not doing that. Well, I wouldn't do that job. Well, I wouldn't volunteer for that. Work in the nursery? There ain't no way I'm working in the nursery. You know what? Listen, if you're not willing to do whatever you can do for the Lord, you're not willing to humble yourself, then you know what? You don't get it. You don't have the mind of Christ. See, listen, watch this. A satanic mindset is an arrogant mindset. Pride, that belongs to the devil. Arrogancy, that belongs to Satan. Humility, that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you getting this? See, folks, the mind of Christ does not seek worldly acclaim. The mind of Christ produces a servant's mentality. It's just looking for somewhere and to serve, something to do, and it doesn't need a spotlight or a plot. Listen, that's the mind of Christ. Satan and his mindset is always an arrogant, prideful, I know better, I'm better than somebody else, look down your nose type of a attitude. That isn't the Lord Jesus Christ. I got to say this because I feel like the Lord wants me to. Wait a minute. Let me just help everybody in here. Listen, is there anybody that comes to this church you kind of look down your nose at? Is there anybody that comes walking in the door and you just kind of go, like? Is there somebody here that's just not clean enough for you? Or properly behaved enough for you? Does bus kids kind of get on your nerves because sometimes, you know, they're just bus kids? And by the way, we believe in teaching them and training them, and you know, we're not going to let them come and destroy the place. And if somebody's running, somebody watch them. Sooner or later, an adult, get a hold of them and say, slow down. But is it just kind of myth you that there's certain people that are allowed here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Let me help you with something. You're not getting that mindset. You don't get that attitude from the Lord. I can tell you where it's coming from. Okay, if you take it out and smell it smells like brimstone. It smells like hell. That's what it smells like. Okay, listen, I had a preacher one time tell me. I asked him. I wouldn't tell you. I'm not even going to hint who it was. But I asked him, I said, why don't you have a bus ministry? And he looked at me and he said, oh, Brother Ross, I know that works for y'all, but you know what? I just really don't care to have those type of people in my church. And now I'm going to just tell you something. There's not too many times that I just really feel like hauling back and I had, you know, one of the qualifications of a preacher, the Bible says, is not a striker. I just about disqualified myself. Just for a day, Lord, let me disqualify myself real quick here. Pow! You know, put it on him and then say, okay, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Amen. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, What are you talking about? Let me tell you something. Why don't you get in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and follow Jesus around? See who he spent his time with. Come on now. He spent his time in some pretty nice houses and nice homes. He spent some time trying to, listen, he wanted to reach everybody he could. But if you'll follow him around most of the time, you know what? He was just with the common man. He was taking time for the people that said, stop, quiet. Jesus don't have time for you. That's the ones he stopped, took time for. I mean, everybody was shushing blind Bartimaeus, and Jesus says, stop it. Bring him here. I mean, people were running away from lepers, and Jesus was heading towards them. Most people were disgusted and hateful towards tax collectors, and yet Jesus, we know of two that he won to himself. One of them out of a sycamore tree. He was preaching one day, and mothers came with their children, and the disciples like, I'm sorry, the Lord just doesn't have time. And he says, suffer the little children to come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says it angered him that the disciples were turning the children away. The Bible also says he took them up in his arms and blessed them. I'm just saying, you know what? You better listen, do we want the mind of Christ? You know what the mind of Christ is? The mind of Christ is this. You know what? We're going to love everybody. And we're going to care for everybody. And you know, folks, listen to me. Not everybody has the same opportunity and the same starting point in life. And you know what? There's a lot of folks that come in here and you know what? They're limping in. The devil's done some destruction in their life and hurt them some. And he does what he does. The devil's a destroyer.
Yes, sir.
And so he chews them up and spits them out and throws them away like a piece of garbage. And here comes Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and somebody says, I ain't worth anything. And they say, well, you may not understand this, but you're worth a lot to God.
Yep.
Well, nobody loves me. Well, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, preacher, I could never be anything. Well, let me show you in the Bible. God took a lot of train wrecks. He took a lot of people and scraped them right out of the bottom of the barrel and used them in a remarkable way. You know, you're a prime candidate. Matter of fact, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you don't see yourself as much, you're the prime candidate to be used of the Lord. If you see yourself as something, you probably aren't going to be used much. What are you saying, preacher? I'm just saying, folks, listen to me. Why don't we all just decide, Lord Jesus, let me have your mindset. I want to think like Christ. Teenagers, you think you're better than some of these other teenagers around here? You better never let me see you mistreat some of these kids. Okay? Certain ones you can set with and certain ones you can't set with. Certain ones you'll be friends with, certain ones you aren't going to be friends with. Shame on. I mean it. I said, shame on your wicked heart. Shame on your wicked heart. You think you're all that? That's not the mind of Christ. That's the mind of the devil. I mean it. I hate to say it's not just teenagers. Little children start this. Come on, parents. One of your little sweethearts, one of your little children, you see them starting to be mean or caustic or have a bad attitude or mistreat another child that's maybe less fortunate than them. Buddy, that ought to be time to head to the woodshed right there. Amen. Come on now. You say, well, they're different. Well, we're all different. We're all different. I mean, come on. No two people exactly right. We're all different. Thank God. It'd be a boring planet if everybody was the same. It would be. Can you imagine an entire planet Earth and everyone is just like Jerry Ross? That's a sci-fi movie gone wrong right there, man. I don't know where that planet is, but I don't even want to live in that planet. I don't like me on most days. I can't get along with myself on most days. You imagine? But watch this. We laugh at that, but we kind of walk around almost like that attitude. Everybody's not exactly like us. It's somehow down. But wait, what? Really? Are you the standard for all of the other rest of the human race? We just need to set you up and compare everybody to you, and anybody that's not exactly like you is somehow below. Stop that. Jesus didn't come do that. Okay, what I'm saying is this. Watch this. The mind of Christ does not produce a false humility. The mind of Christ does not seek worldly acclaim. The mind of Christ produces a servant's mentality. Let me give you the last one. The mind of Christ seeks to fulfill the will of God. I mean, that's what Jesus came to do. Verse number 8, and being found in fashion as a man, what did he do? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, why did he become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross? Because that was the will of the Father. I'm sending you down to die for the sins of the whole world. Now, you know what? The God's will for my life is not the same as Jesus Christ in that specific way. God didn't send me down here to die on a cross for the sins of all mankind. I wouldn't be qualified to do it. But I can tell you this, just as he sent his son to complete his will, he has a will for each and every one of us. Something that he wants us to do. And the mindset of Christ is this. You know what? This short vapor that I have. Come on, if you're 50 years old and older, raise your hand. Raise your hand. All right, now look around. Everybody doesn't have their hand raised. And you just kind of whisper to them and tell them, it goes fast. That verse isn't kidding when it says life's a vapor. It's not kidding. You're going to blink once, blink twice, and you're going to look in the mirror and think, who's that old guy? What happened? Let me tell you what happened. The vapor happened. And so we're here for a pretty short time. Now, let me help you with the will of God, and I promise you we'll wind her down. But I want you to get the mindset. Listen, my job, I believe, in life, Paul says a wonderful thing. He says to the Galatians, he says, listen, he said his purpose, his goal as a preacher was that they would be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. All I want for the folks that come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church is this. Be like Jesus. Be like Jesus. Now, sometimes when it comes to the will of God, we want to define the will of God by some, again, title. Well, the will of God for Pastor Ross was that he go into the ministry, so he found God's will. Folks, listen to me. The will of God is not one life's calling or one career or one thing. The will of God unfolds every single day. The will of God is 1,000 small things, not one big thing. Tomorrow, you can live and do the will of God. Well, what is the will of God for me tomorrow? Let me help you. Tell you exactly how to discover that. You get up in the morning. I'm going to change your life if you'll do it.
Yes,
get up in the morning, open the Word of God, pick out a chapter or two, bow your head and say, Lord, help me to learn something from your Word. I'm paying attention. Speak to me. Read it out. Get on your knees, say your prayers, and close your prayers with this. Lord, you didn't give me breath today for no reason. And there's something somewhere along the course of this day that I need your Holy Spirit to just kind of tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, you know what? You know why I gave you today? To go say an encouraging word to that person right there. To meet this need. To help this person. To call so-and-so who's having a tough time and encourage them a little bit. Hey, there's a little boy that doesn't have a proper pair of shoes. I guess you can cluck your tongue and roll your eyes, or you could go over to his mama and slip some money in her hand. Folks, the will of God isn't some one-time big thing. Well, preacher, Pastor Ross has found the will of God. Listen, I could miss it tomorrow, and I could miss it the next day, and I could miss it the next day if I'm not sensitive to what the Holy Spirit of God. The will of God is unfolded for us day by day. There's been days I've lived in and completed the will of God, and I think I've done the will of God. There's days I think I missed it by a country mile. Come on, now, don't leave me up here by myself. The will of God isn't, oh, I'll be a missionary. That's the will of God. Well, it might be for you, but I'm going to tell you, in the process of becoming a missionary, there's a will every single day of your life that may or may have nothing to do with a church in Maine. Don't miss it. I don't think we gather here on Sundays just for the purpose of listening to preaching and worshiping God. I think that's part of it. But I think part of it is maybe God has a will for you, something he wants you to say or do or notice or a help that you can be or a comment that you could make that could be, are you listening to? The will of God unfolds day by day and many times minute by minute in our lives. Just be sensitive to the will of God. Let this mind, you have to do it. You have to decide. Let this mind, there's options. You can have a satanic mentality. You can have a Jesus mentality. Let this mind be in you. It's a personal decision, which was also in Christ Jesus. What a lofty goal. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Help us, Lord, every single day to think like Jesus, to see through his eyes as best we can with the Holy Spirit's help, to look for opportunities like he spent his life looking for opportunities, for noticing things that maybe other people are rushing by and not noticing, for looking for a heartache or a need and fulfilling that. The book of Acts summarizes the life of your son by saying he went about doing good. Maybe that is the will of God. Each and every day, witness to a lost person, encourage a brother. Maybe lift up the arms of someone that's discouraged, helping somebody that's struggling. Maybe it's noticing somebody's tears and just coming alongside and saying, I don't need to know why or what, but can I pray with you? Is there something I can do? There's a whole world out there. And Lord, this life's tough sometimes. It's just tough sometimes. And the opportunities for a spirit-sensitive Christian are endless. And Lord, we all can't rescue everybody and we all can't meet every need, but if we all are sensitive to the mindset of Christ, I think we can make a remarkable difference in a week's time. May we leave here from Blessed Hope Baptist Church, dear God. I mean, as soon as we say amen, may we let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. I'm talking about this afternoon, or I'm talking about those that'll go into the workaday world. I'm talking about as we interact with our neighbors and our friends and our co-workers. God, please, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Give us the mind of Christ. Convict us when a satanic mindset begins to slip in and try to find root in our lives. May we push it aside. May we confess it as sin. Give us, please, dear Jesus, please give us your sensibilities, your sensitivities. Help us, Lord, to seek out your will day by day. In Jesus' name we pray.